Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we'll be this evening. Let me ask you, if you would, to stand, please. We're going to begin in verse number 13 and read down to verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And let's pray. Lord God, again, we come to you asking for your help. Lord, we confess that although we are your people, we by ourselves, in ourselves, of ourselves, are not sufficient for the things of God. Thank you that you are our help. Thank you for the inspiration of your word and the ministry of your spirit in our hearts to receive it. And then, Father, for the further ministry that you have to us to train us and bring us up to maturity in the Word. Bless our lives and this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're, of course, just giving some time on our Sunday nights to working our way through the book of Proverbs. Not verse by verse necessarily, although I'm guessing it perhaps seems like this at this point in time. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are really, although every proverb is just that, it is a piece of Hebrew poetry, and it employs either some form of contrast or complement. It's the nature of Hebrew poetry, and then if you wanted to pursue it, you could find there are subdivisions under those headings. But Hebrew poetry pretty much contrasts one thought against another or complements. Here's this, and then we add to it. The first nine verses, or first nine chapters of Proverbs, are a collection then of proverbs that fit together along two themes, or along, you know, into a common theme. And I would argue that Solomon is most broadly doing two things in the first nine chapters. Of course, he's talking to his son, most likely King Rehoboam. And he's doing two things that really are preparatory for the individual proverbs that we find beginning in chapter 10 that make up the end of the book. Number one, he is providing us with a variety of character sketches of the kind of people that we will encounter in this world. He is particularly concerned with immoral women. A father talking to his son about the dangers of immoral women. They show up several times in the first nine chapters. He is concerned about those who are lazy. They'll show up. He is concerned about those who are just flat evil. They show up. And so in the first nine chapters, you have a variety of character sketches. Here's this kind of person, and here are their attributes. And then when we get into the kind of the Proverbs proper, so to speak, in chapter 10, we find a more in-depth methodology for dealing with them. But secondly, and probably the bulk of chapters 1 through 9, are really encouragements and exhortations to his son to embrace the very concept of wisdom. And Solomon here, we'll talk about this. Solomon treats it very much like a material commodity. But it is not the kind of material commodity that you can go out and buy and in one purchase have all of it that there is. It's not like a car, where you go down and you buy a car, and having bought the car, you have the entirety of the car. It is more like the appetite to spend your life acquiring a car piece by piece, building the car, assembling the car. That's the way Solomon views it. When Solomon was, of course, a very young man, and when he became the king as a young man, 1 Kings chapter 3, God appeared to him in a dream and said, well, now you're the king, what would you like? Anything that you want, you name it, and you can have it. And of course, Solomon said, well, this is a large people, and I am not up to the task, and what I'd like is the ability to govern your people. We read in 1 Kings 3:10 that the speech pleased the Lord, for Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgments. 1 Kings 3:12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Verse number 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So God's response was to grant Solomon everything that he requested and more. And now Solomon has the daunting task of trying to get his son to see the value of God's wisdom. It is really unfortunate that so many people hold God's wisdom in such low esteem. But God does not, and Solomon does not either. And I went back and read that because if you will look at chapter 3 and verse number 13, Solomon writes, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. This is the promise that God had made to him in 1 Kings 3:12. I will give to you a wise and understanding heart. Now here was my intention, to back away from the text for just a moment. I was going to deal with the first 12 verses, those six couplets, a precept and a promise, and I was going to move on. But I found that verse number 13 was quite honestly just too compelling in light of chapter 3 and verse number 12, or verses 11 and 12. Let's go back and look at them again and see. I think that if we just look at them, we can see how there's a little bit of attention to them. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The pathway to wisdom is sometimes painful. When the writer of Hebrews quotes Hebrews 3, 11 and 12, he doesn't say, and a good time was had by all. He said, nobody finds chastening joyful. So Solomon ends that series of thoughts with the very real observation that the pathway to wisdom is sometimes painful. And then immediately upon that, he says, happy is the man that has it. If the pathway to wisdom is sometimes painful, in verses 13 through 26, Solomon is pointing out that the payoff is incredible. In other words, as we would say, no pain, no gain. But the gain or the pain is worth the gain. So let's just begin there. The man who endures the painful correction and instruction of the father will come out of it a happy man. Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The pain converts to pleasure. It is a statement of fact. This is what you will be. This is how you will be. It is a word that describes to be blessed, to be good. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. Full of God's riches and joy. And this is what God gave to Solomon. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Blessed is that man. Solomon was a blessed king. Happy is the man that produces this insight, this capacity to understand life and make sense of it. Right after God gave Solomon wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3, God gives us an insight as to the nature of this wisdom. And of course, Solomon is a king, and you would think that the king is unapproachable, but Solomon is a king who represents Christ. And so two harlots, two prostitutes, have in their illicit lifestyles conceived infants and given birth, and one evening one of them smothers her own child, realizes what happens in the middle of the night, and switches her now dead child for the living child of the other woman, who wakes in the morning, looks at her baby and says, "This kid's not mine." Somehow, they are brought before the king and they present their case. And the woman says, "Her baby died and she swapped babies." And the other woman said, "No, I didn't." Solomon says, "Let me make sure that I understand it. You say that this is yours. You say that this is not. I have a solution. Let's cut the living baby in half. You can each both have a piece." And of course, the mother of the dead child said, "Sure, that's fine. What did she care?" And the other woman said, no. And Solomon said, "Okay, now we know who the mother is." And then we read that when Israel heard this, everybody feared King Solomon because of his wisdom. Everybody had reverence and respect for Solomon because of his wisdom. Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom. What greater blessing, folks, could befall a king than to have the respect of his people? Or to put it this way, is there any politician in Washington or the governor's mansion or the legislature that you respect? Do we have a lot of respect for our leaders, or do we pretty much find them contemptible? Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom. It is sometimes painful, but the payoff is incredible. Solomon goes on then in verses 14 through 18 to explain why this is. Why is the painfulness of wisdom worth the pain? Well, because you will be happy and blessed. Well, why will I be happy and blessed? For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Why is a person who has wisdom so blessed? Because you have something of unsurpassed value. You have The most valuable thing that a human being can possess. The word merchandise there means to make profit or to make gain. Wisdom is like an investment. It's like putting money in a savings account. It's like buying shares of Berkshire Hathaway at $15 and discovering one day that they're worth $285,000. Wisdom makes a great return on its investment. Wisdom is like having a little factory for your life that is always producing good things. It's better than silver. It's better than money. And Solomon was a man who knew a little bit about money. 1 Kings 10:21, and all the King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. They didn't even count the silver. In other words, just to try and put it in a little bit of a perspective, I bet you know how much money you have in the bank. And I would bet even more that you don't have any idea how many grains of salt you have in your house. Who counts salt? But in Solomon's day, they didn't even count silver. How much silver is there in the royal treasury? We don't even keep track. Silver. Who counts silver? All we count around here is gold. We have so much gold, we don't bother counting the silver. But it's better even than gold. And the weight of gold that came unto Solomon in one year was 600 threescore and 6 talents of gold. Quite possibly, folks, near, in today's value, $1 billion. Solomon was raking in $1 billion a year in 1100 B.C. A lot of money. He goes on to say it's better than rubies, precious jewels, luxury items. And then he goes on to say, by the way, that if that's not enough, it's better than anything you could think of. If gold and silver and rubies are not enough to impress you with the value of wisdom, it is better than anything you could think of. Well, how is that, folks? I mean, let's just pause for a moment. How is it possible that wisdom is more valuable than anything else that you could name in this life? I mean, seriously, we don't need to do it out loud. Let's do the little mental exercise. Let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. What really matters? What do you want? Most of us want money. We like money. Right? Who's kidding who? One of the reasons that putting money in the offering plate is a challenge is not because of anything other than the fact that we really like money. And we have the mentality that to give some away means less for me and I need every bit I got plus some. But maybe it's other things, stuff. Maybe it's the dream of a house on the ocean front or a big boat. Maybe it's fame. What do you really want? What do you really want? Here is God's talk to you. Wisdom is better than anything you could want, anything that you could think of, anything that you would place a value on. Wisdom is better than that. How can that be? Well, he goes on here and he explains that, how that can be. Right, length, verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. Remember what Solomon didn't ask for? He didn't ask for a long life. God gave him one. By the way, it was 70 years. And in her left hand, riches and honor. It might have been longer if he hadn't played the fool as an old man. Which is a point of wisdom for us, those of us that can read it, right? We're never too old to be a fool. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths or peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. In other words, folks, Solomon's perspective is, That wisdom can do for you things that money can never do for you. If you had $1 billion right now, you could not buy one more day of life with it. Solomon's no fool. He knows what money will do and what it won't do. If you had $1 trillion, you couldn't buy one more second for this day. If you had $250 billion, you couldn't buy a good reputation. Look at all the people, folks, that we have observed who have lived lives that we would envy. They are famous. They are wealthy. They are jet setters. People look up to them. But they're fools in more ways than one. So here's Bill Cosby, who will probably spend the last of his days in prison. Money will never buy for us what wisdom will acquire for us. If you have wisdom, you can have a good reputation, but money will not give you one. Harvey Weinstein. Wisdom will create for you what Solomon calls pleasantness. It really is the Hebrew word for beauty. And he's not talking here about physical beauty. He's talking about desirous traits. Wisdom will make you appealing, charming, attractive in right and godly ways. Right? We are instructed to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Peace, Solomon says, shalom, the dominating concept of being at peace and content, at ease, unstressed. Right? We stress over all these things. Got to get more money. Don't have enough time. Solomon says, wisdom will do for you what money will never do for you. And remember that the primary context here is a conversation to his son, or a lecture to his son. It is, he says, a tree of life. The leaves that it bears are these things: longevity, contentment, enough money. It's all there in wisdom. They are like a farm. They are always producing good things. To this point, Solomon has been effusive in his praise of wisdom. But he has not yet finished. He has not yet put the capstone upon his praise of wisdom. He does that in verses 19 and 20. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. How valuable is wisdom? Well, God didn't go down to the universe store and buy a planet. God used his wisdom to create the world. And Solomon is not suggesting that creative powers would be vested in Rehoboam. He is celebrating the glories of wisdom. The way that wisdom excels the things that people live for. Look around us, folks. What are people living for? More money, more sex, more food, more entertainment. This is where the supreme value of life is. I was talking to one of the guys before we came into choir, and they made the same observation that I did this morning coming down to church at 7:30 on Sunday morning and the baseball players are already on the field, and the day is given to sports. And this is the good life. This is the good life. This is what we live for. Entertainment. More stuff. And the Bible is fighting the uphill battle to get us to see the surpassing value of wisdom. Wisdom is one of the tools of God's creation. There was no world. There was no matter. There wasn't an atom. There wasn't a neutron. There wasn't an electron. There wasn't anything smaller than that, if such a smaller thing exists. Out of absolutely nothing, God in His wisdom spoke. And it all came together and works, functions. Even in its brokenness, it is beautiful. This is a result of God's wisdom. It was His wisdom, His understanding, His knowledge that lay behind the earth and the way that it works. And Solomon just gives a couple of examples there. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. These are the products of God's use of wisdom. And so then, in verses 21 through 26, come the appeal, the invitation to his son. Son, you got to get this. You got to get this, son. Don't waste your life chasing the lesser things. I am living testimony that if you pursue wisdom, the lesser things will be there. Jesus is preaching the principle of the proverb. All the Gentiles are seeking after what to wear and what to eat. You seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what to wear and what to eat will be taken care of. So my son, do not let them depart from thine eyes. Keep your eyeballs always on wisdom. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Guard them studiously. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. It will be a luxurious ornament to you, a necklace, the gracious necklace of God's wisdom. Guard them, gain them. When thou liest down, verse 24, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep the fool from being taken. So he closes, as he often does, with an appeal. To have this wisdom is to have the protection of God Himself. One of the advantages of having money is it alleviates worry. One of the advantages of popularity is you don't stress about whether people like you. But the advantage to having wisdom is you don't really worry about any of that stuff. Shouldn't. Wisdom brings God. So there is yet one more appeal by Solomon. Let me ask you to stand, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to leave you with a closing question. We have now, for these past few weeks, been giving our attention to the Proverbs, and early in the Proverbs have been the appeal to wisdom, the value of wisdom, pursue it. So here is a question for you. Have you in the last 7 days asked the Lord for wisdom for anything? In the last 7 days, have you made a conscious thought that I really need wisdom.